Welcome to The Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast that's available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on your favorite podcast app, whether that's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever it is. I'm Aaron Peterson. I'm going to be your host for this special episode because on occasion, when we want to share a project by filmmakers we love, we like to bring you interviews with those independent filmmakers just to give you an insight into what goes into getting their projects made, as well as insight into the respective art itself. And for this episode, we are talking with Ian and Esham Nelms, directors of the cult classic Fat Man, as well as Small Town Crime, which are two films I personally love. And they have a new film out called Red Right Hand, starring Legolas himself, Orlando Bloom, as well as Andy McDowell as Bloom's antagonist, Big Cat. So in this movie, Cash is played by Orlando Bloom, and he's trying to live this honest, quiet life while taking care of his recently widowed brother-in-law and niece, Savannah. Taking place in the mountains of Odom County, this tight-knit family tends to their family farm while trying to move on from the troubled past. Unfortunately, the region's sadistic kingpin, Big Cat, again, Andy freaking McDowell, has other plans and forces Cash back into her services. In order to protect his family, Cash is then forced to complete three jobs, which push him and his morality to the very brink, and as the journey gets harder, Cash is drawn into a nightmare that blurs the lines between good and evil. Now, Red Right Hand is now available on demand. It's also in limited theaters, also starring Garrett Dillahunt, whom I love, Brian Gaiety, Mo McRae, Kenneth Miller, and Nicholas Logan. And so I interviewed the Nelms brothers for Fat Man, right, a few years ago. And we honestly do very few interviews these days because, well, mostly because when you interview actors, you're typically getting canned responses. It's the same questions and answers over and over again. And I want to talk to people that actually want to dive into what it means to make their art that they're making. Like, why is this art important to them? What goes into making it? Just the stories behind it, what they care about. Why do they care about these characters? Why is this journey so important? Like, those are the kind of conversations we want to have here at The Hollywood Outsider. And these guys have been great throughout their entire career. So we're absolutely ecstatic to have them back. They're always welcome on this show. They make movies that we at The Hollywood Outsider enjoy. And Red Right Hand is no exception. Orlando Bloom's Cash is unlike his previous characters. He's desperate to stay on the right path, but this world just will not escape him. And Andy McDowell's Big Cat is a role I promise you have never, ever, ever, ever seen her in. She is something. I don't want to say anything because we're going to keep this pretty spoiler free. But it's an entertaining, gritty family revenge thriller, and our hero is not this flawless badass, right? Things get messy. They're dirty, but they're nonetheless fun to watch. Every time we talk about this in the actual interview, but even though their Cash might have a plan, nothing just goes according to plan. Unlike, you know, the Statham movies, which I am a fan of, nothing goes according to plan in the real world. So this is fun. And we again discuss behind the scenes of this movie, the performances, why they love making movies like this. And I think it's a great time. They're always just fun guys to talk to, loving brothers, and it's cool that they came back. So we kept this interview, again, spoiler-free, so you can listen either before or after you've watched Red Right Hand. But either way, definitely watch Red Right Hand because it's available on demand right now or in limited theaters. So let's stop listening to me yammer. Let's just get into the interview with the directors of Red Right Hand.
Yo, how are
we? Hey, guys. Well, you're in the same room. Last time we did this, one of you was traveling. I think you were on a road trip or something like that.
Yeah, we try to bring it together when we can.
I'm about right, Matt. Aaron, how you been?
Good. How are you guys?
Oh, we're good. We're really good. Excited to get this movie out, you know?
I like that you have the poster on in the background. That's smart. Smart. Well played.
Just in case anyone forgets what they're talking to us about.
Absolutely. I like it. Well, first of all, since I've got both of you here, can you introduce yourselves so listeners know which voice is Ian and which one is Esham? Because it helps clarify.
Yeah, absolutely. That can be tricky. This is Esham Nelms.
This is Ian Nelms.
Okay. Now, the last time we talked a little bit about Small Town Crime. I don't know if you remember the interview. It was a long time ago. You probably don't. You've done a bunch of these. But I'm getting ready to go back to South by Southwest again. And I'm kind of wondering, like, have you guys... I know it's a moment you remember fondly, but have you been back there since that debuted?
I mean, we've been back to Austin, but
not to South By.
No?
No, unfortunately not. You know, obviously
we love that festival.
We've had the pandemic, and it wasn't going on for a little while. And then we haven't had a film to go back to it since, but we can't wait to.
We're going to talk about that one. I got to talk to you about Fat Man because people keep asking me. I've told several people I was going to do this interview, and they asked me, is there going to be a Fat Man 2? What's going on with that? Are we going back to that? How do you feel about Violent Night basically remaking your own movie? Like,
you know what do they say?
It's flattery. Like, flattery, imitation right? is
yeah.
a form of flattery, right?
So I take it as a compliment.
Absolutely. Yeah,
hey, I think honestly, like, they're two different movies. They're two very different movies.
They are.
Violent Night's going after something totally different. Ian and I went after our own thing. You know, more power to him, more power to everybody. Yeah. So the more rowdy Santa movies, the better in this planet.
Exactly. It's a whole genre now.
it's its own genre.
And then as far as a Fat Man 2, we're definitely kicking around an idea. We've been developing it. Producers excited about it. We're going to see some companies about it. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, we've had the idea. It's just, it's been a turbulent time with, like, you know, COVID and strikes and
making Red Right Hand
people's schedules. And yeah, it's, and I mean, not everybody that needs to be involved in is going to be able to stop everything all at the same time and get and jump on the train or be able to hold through a pandemic and a bunch of strikes to jump on the train. So it's been a bunch of schedules, but I mean, we have talked to like Mel and Marianne about it, and they're definitely excited about doing another one. So I mean, the good news is that everybody seems down to do another one.
Mm-hmm.
It's just now it's like, okay, we got to get the pieces together and the time, you know?
I mean, it's basically a Christmas cult classic at this point. I know a lot of people that have it added to their list. You know, everybody's got that Christmas list.
It's so flattering.
It's amazing.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, so Red Right Hand, the title, unless I'm mistaken, you correct me if I'm wrong, it comes from John Milton's Paradise Lost, right? It means divine vengeance.
Yep.
So and that's also a pretty sweet song, if you've ever heard it. I think it was Nick Cave, right? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Great, great song. We'd be lying if we said it wasn't playing while we were working on it. Yeah.
But you know, the thing about that song, though, is that it's been used in so many iconic ways. It's also really hard to be like, yeah, we're going to use it again. And try to sort of, you know what I mean?
I was going to ask, that's one thing I wanted to ask. I didn't really want to ask you, but you brought it up, so I'm going to.
Go for it.
I didn't hear the song.
Not in the movie.
And you keep waiting for it. I think just because you expect it, because at this point it's in every movie or every other movie, it feels like. And so when it's called Red Right Hand, well, it's probably going to show up at some point. And I didn't see it. So it isn't in the movie and I just missed it, right?
No, it's
okay.
No. And for us, it was always the literary reference, right? The song's been used well, and we thought we'd just skip that lap.
Yeah.
I'm actually perfectly okay with that. I have heard that song to death, so it's perfectly fine. All right, but the story's about Cash. He's supposedly this badass in Appalachian country who's lured back into a world he left behind by Andie MacDowell's Big Cat, which I'm going to get to her because I did not see her performance coming in any way, shape, or form.
I love it.
Why was this the story you wanted to tell? I mean, what about this one appealed to you?
Well, it's kind of a perfect storm in a lot of ways. So right after we finished Small Town Crime, mm-hmm. we were introduced to Orlando Bloom. And we sat down, we had a great conversation with Orlando, really hit it off with the guy, and just got to know a lot about him that we didn't know and we thought really was really intriguing. Amongst those things is he really has a passion for dirt bikes.
Okay.
In Appalachia.
Yeah, let's not start spreading stuff. But we just really liked him as a human. He was like, man, I'd love to work with you guys. And we were like, man, we can't wait to work with you. Cause he was like really, you know, excited to go out and stretch beyond, you know, he's done great work, but like stretch beyond the Pirates of the Caribbean and the elves, right?
He wanted something different. And we were like, okay.
He's been a hard
the glossy roles, the very glossy kind of Hollywood roles that he's been doing.
Down and dirty in a few films. Like we really liked an indie he did called Retaliation. We were able to track down a copy of Zulu, which is another film he did, that we thought was really cool and kind of gritty, a South African thriller.
Yeah, he's trying to break out. He's trying to break out of that mold that Hollywood put him in, essentially. Yeah.
Exactly. So he's got a desire to do a lot more. So
he's
like
a multifaceted guy, a multifaceted actor, and you get hooked into something, you know, that's not only paying the bills, but a giant success, and you become an icon, and like, of course, you're going to do a few of those, and then you're probably going to feel like you need to do something else, or you want to do something else. She's a hungry actor. Like, he likes doing cool shit. So he was after finding something else that would, you know, tempt his palate.
Yeah. So, and then Red Right Hand lands on our desk, and honestly, the read was an utter page turner. Like, we just burned through it, and the characters leapt off the page, and the dialogue was snappy. And we were like, man, this is a powerful script. But what really got our juices flowing was, like, Orlando instantly came to our minds for Cash, and we're like, it would be really interesting to get Orlando in here to play this character, something you've never seen him do.
And we really liked there's structure in the script, and I don't want to give away any spoilers. Mm-hmm. There's a cool structure to the script that it zigs left when you think it's going to go right, and it goes right when you think it's going to go left. And there's, you know, it's kind of like you get introduced to the family, you get introduced to his backstory and his life, what he was, what he is, who's trying to reel him back in. And then he gets in with them for a little while, and then it starts to unravel and go south and gets dark. And I don't want to go any further than that, you know, on the explanation of the structure, but the zigzags that were happening through the first and second act. And I mean, you know, a lot of great stuff in the third act too, but like I hadn't really seen that development before. And we really just dug it. We're really excited to see all these characters, you know, working together and flowing together and interacting with each other. And then when we started thinking of Orlando, it was like, oh my God, like this could be really cool. If we get somebody like Orlando or Orlando to do something like this that we've never seen him at all. We've never seen him even like graze the surface of a role like this.
Yeah. So we sent it to him with fingers crossed and he was into it.
Yeah.
So we're like, oh, now we're going. Now we got something.
Yeah. It's really hard to, I mean, dirty up Orlando Bloom and make him look less. I mean, he's still pretty. It's like you can't get away from it, but he looks much less pretty than he normally would. Which I appreciated, because I'm like, that shows that he's open to trying different things and not just being this perfect Errol Flynn that people wanted to peg him as pretty early in his career.
Totally. Exactly. Yeah. Right. And he came in with, like, you know, getting the scraggly beard and the hair and like all that. And then like, you're like the greasy hair. And like, and then he's like, you know, there's a physicality to this guy that he wanted to do. And so
hit the dialect for like 3 months, really trying to nail down the area and the people, and he was just killing it. He'd check in with us every few weeks and be like, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? What do you think of this? And we started recording people when we got to Kentucky and sending it to him. And then when he got there, he landed hot and just started going all over the place and trying to really nail it.
There's just something about English actors that they can just capture American accents better than Americans can sometimes. I don't get it.
It's pretty wild. Yeah. I mean, he had to work really, really hard.
He did.
But I mean, we're super proud. I mean,
it pays off.
I think his work's
great. No, he's very good. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you guys have written your past few films. This one was written by Jonathan Easley.
Yep.
He was your screenwriter. He did a fine job, but I'm just kind of curious why you didn't write your next film, I guess. Why you chose to take a script that was already completed.
Sometimes you get in that phase where you're working on stuff and nothing's done. And then you've got something that's cool that lands on your desk. And you're like, man, this is pretty cool. We should just probably go make this and then circle back to our stuff. And that's sort of the perfect storm with this one, you know? Like, we're working on stuff and this one landed on our desk. We're like, oh, wow, this is cool. I think we could go out and make a really cool movie with Orlando on this.
Yeah.
And then I will say this, though. Working with Jonathan Easley was an absolute dream. I mean, obviously, we read a script. We really liked it. Mm-hmm. But there's always going to be some director sort of specific stuff that you want to work on. And like,
plus, you're also writers, so I'm sure that's a factor, too. You know, you see yourself in some respects.
Yeah, I mean, look, and then we've got to like say, okay, well, can we execute this? And there were things we're like, hey, let's try to work on this. And we had just a marvelous collaboration with Jonathan in some of the rewrites and the tweaks and the polishes that came after the original script. The man was just tenacious in his efforts, and he would sit there and we would come up with notes, and we'd all be spitballing in the room, getting excited about stuff. But there's a difference between coming up with an idea in a room and then actually extrapolating that out throughout the screenplay, right? So like sometimes you're like, hey, we're going to drop a pebble in act two, but like, the ripple effect up and downstream, you don't necessarily think about. And Jonathan went out there and like proactively was like searching for all those problems and figuring it all out. And he just did a really, really great job.
And it doesn't always happen like that with a writer collaboration, because you've got the writer who's really excited about the script he wrote, and you're excited about the script he wrote or she wrote. And then you're collaborating with them on scenes that they may not be pumped about what direction you're taking them, regardless. So it's a lot of like handing in scenes of like, is this what you wanted? You know, is this what you're talking about? You know, rather than like, hey, I'm really excited about this idea as if it's my own and I'm going to attack the script with it. And Jonathan was the latter.
Does it make it easier in some respects because you're both writers, you both have written, and you know how it feels to get too many notes or to get that perspective where you're like, oh, you're not seeing it the way I see it. You know what I mean? Does that help your relationship? I would assume it would, but I guess.
I'd like to think so. Too. You know, I think that there's an empathy there that like, hey, we understand what it's like to be in the seat where you're the writer.
Sure.
Someone's telling you to change stuff. So we try to handle it in a way that we like to be treated.
And I think when we approached a lot of our notes with him, it was a lot of like directorial stuff. Like we were trying to make the action sequences a little bigger, you know, trying to get a lot of the themes and moments that he already built into the script just to pay off a little bit better. And we would just brainstorm on how to do that with him. And then he'd go lay it down wonderfully. It was a great collaboration period. And we couldn't be more pumped about him and doing another one with him down the road if we fancy another of his scripts. So,
how'd you like filming in Kentucky? I used to visit that area all the time, especially Louisville, which I think is pretty close to where you film. Yeah.
But man, is it.
When would you go to Louisville?
Yeah. What time of year?
Usually around March. It's around March.
Okay. Right, and it is. So, look.
Was it hot? Was it hot?
No, it wasn't hot. No. It was amazing. Oh. Because we landed there in December-ish. November-ish, December-ish?
January, something like, maybe it was December. Yeah. Maybe it was late November, early December, something like that.
But we were there when there was no leaves on the trees, and the leaves come on the trees.
That's
a remarkable metamorphosis on its own, right?
Because you see yeah.
all this stuff in the woods, and, you know, whether it's like the five trailers of people's houses that slowly get concealed, and it's like becomes beautiful. But what we realized quickly was like shooting in Kentucky in the spring is a temperamental beast. Like the weather there is no joke.
It is.
We were having to evacuate because of tornadoes.
Storms.
Yeah, we were getting shut down, losing like some of our shooting days for lightning strikes and stuff like this. So it ended up taking a pretty big bite out of our schedule. But on the other side of that coin, it's absolutely gorgeous. There was an authenticity to that area because we were literally shooting in Knob Creek, which is old like bootlegger territory.
Yeah, I know where it's at.
Obviously,
yeah.
with Big Cat's storyline and like the contemporary sort of like version of that business, right? It's like, hey, this is thematically accurate in a lot of ways.
So how did you round out Orlando Bloom's family, his brother, his niece, which are very important characters to the entire storyline and where it goes and the struggles of their family and whatnot? Like, did you have to do chemistry tests? How did you find the right match?
Interesting. I mean, look, when you're looking for, you know, collaborators on the talent side, I think you're always looking for like the best actor, you know what I mean? That fits this role in a way. And then on the other side of that, you're looking for somebody that's going to surprise you if you would watch this movie and you were to say, holy cow, that person's doing that role and they're freaking killing. Like those are the sort of the duality you're looking for. And with like Scott Hayes, like we'd seen a lot of his work. He's been in a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
a ton of great work. He's a great character actor. And he's done a variety of different roles, and he has played a couple of guys from the sort of South or from a rural area, but we hadn't seen him do anything quite like this. So we were excited to get him in here, and we had enough, obviously, reference from what a talented guy he is.
But he's also a guy that, like, when he got on the Zoom and he was like, okay, so I've only read the script 5 times.
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
You know, and then he's already pitching you, like, all these ideas for character nuance. You're like, oh, man, he's so deep diving in already. He was just incredibly enthusiastic about it. Obviously,
you can see the level of commitment he's going to get.
Oh, he was great because you love him, you hate him, you love him, you hate him. You know, that's very much like a brother. Yeah.
But get your shit together, man, but he's a kind-hearted man.
Chapel Oaks.
So but that was interesting with Chapel, too, because there's also got to be, like, a DNA, like, you got to buy that they're, she's his daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
It had to be, like, a look. They were like, okay, yeah, I think, like, that works, you know? Although you don't know quite what you want mom looks like. But, you know, finding Chapel was an interesting discovery process because, you know, she hadn't done any major feature work before. I think this.
Oh, she was good. She was good.
Her first big feature. Yeah. And I might even be a television. I don't know.
I think she maybe done like one little piece with dialogue.
Didn't have a lot of credits, but, she impressed us straight out of the gate, but the competition was not easy. We had some stiff competition from her. We had some like notable actors in there, vying for the part.
They would have all been great in different ways.
They were all great talent.
Of course. And, of course.
It's just how it works, right? But we kept coming back to this, to Chapel because we were smitten, man. She just had all the attributes of the character. And,
I think there's another side of it too, right? Like once we decided to cast her, I mean, you start kind of going down the rabbit hole of like, what's okay. So when you're watching this movie and you see an unknown face as that character, you're not going to be quite so sure how big her role is going to be. You know what I mean? And so some of those things downriver are probably going to be hopefully surprising at her involvement or how big of a character she is by the end of the show, you know?
Sure.
So there's that part of it. Because if you'd cast a really well-known face or name, like, you'd be like, oh yeah, well, this person's going to be playing a pretty significant part of this movie. Like,
that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Well, yeah, so I guess we just wanted to avoid the baggage of who that...
That just ended up being a bonus. But yeah, it was like, we were like, oh man, this could be even cooler, you know?
But it really came down to her talent, honestly. And I remember we had like a follow-up Zoom, maybe the second or third one, where we were going to really like sort of like, you know, ask her to do some adjustments and see how we work together. And, man, she did not disappoint. I remember there was one moment, and then there's obviously like, well, hey, you know, this is her first thing. Like, how is it going to be when she's sitting across from Orlando Bloom, when she's sitting across from Scott, when she's sitting across from Andy? Like, these are all known actors. You know, is she going to be able to handle that pressure? You know, there's always that question bouncing around. And I remember one moment we were Zooming with her and we asked her for an adjustment. And she's like, okay, give me a second. And she like takes a second to compose herself and find this moment. And her dad goes, oh no, go ahead, babe. They're waiting for you. And she goes, no, I need a minute. This has to be real.
Huh.
So she takes the time.
Closes her eyes.
Not long, you know.
Goes away for like 8 seconds and then comes back and opens her eyes and delivers a powerhouse performance. And we're like, holy cow.
And we were like, wow, that's cool. Really shows a maturity to understand her process. And understand how she needs to get into the zone.
Take the time to do it. Do it right.
And is not afraid to ask for it. And so from that little nugget, we're like, okay, I think we're going to be good, you know, on the set. So we took the leap of faith and it paid off.
Yeah. And she was great.
Now, story question before I get to Andy McDowell. The way that I take it, okay, we've all seen a lot of these kinds of movies, right? Where it seems very much like a revenge motivated kind of thriller. But I would say Cash. This is my opinion. You guys correct me if you disagree. Cash is not a master criminal or necessarily the smartest badass in the room, even though he's perceived that way. He wins through perseverance and flowing with the chaos. Because I would say, as I'm watching the movie, and I won't spoil anything, I promise, but it's almost like everything gets messy. Everything, like nothing goes according to plan. He's just rolling with it as it goes. And everybody praises him or loves him, hates him, whatever they feel about him. But you can see I think halfway through, you're like, why do they revere this guy so much? You know, and then you're like, oh, he just rolls with the punches. Okay. I get why he's perceived that way. Is that fair?
He's a great improviser. Right?
I think especially in this environment, when we were reading through the script, you're dealing with like a pretty chaotic business, right?
Sure.
Not exactly the most reliable collaborators.
And I think a lot of times, you know, whether like, I'm sure they're doing a drop and they're going to get robbed or, you know, like, and everybody
over high
and everybody's temperamental and everybody has a lot of anxiety and everybody's scared of the other one because they could be getting robbed or getting shot or whatever, you know, screwing the other person over. Like, I think there's just a lot of that tension that goes with a job like that. And for me, that character of Cat is cool under pressure. You know what I mean? Like, when the heat is on, he's at his best.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, you know, you see like, Dirty Harry, characters like that the first thing off my head, but like a character that's cool, you know, the guy walks into the airport and all of a sudden, you know, he's got to go onto a plane and
like everything's going wrong.
And Harry Callahan decides, fuck it, I'm going in and I'm going to figure out the situation, even though I have zero plan.
I have no plan. Yeah.
Actually, I don't like playing you, son of a bitch. You know, he just melees, you know, fuck it, let's go.
Right.
There was no plan. He just, can I have a suggestion? You know, and he walks on the plane and chaos ensues. And
yeah, he's not Liam Neeson.
He's cool, right? But he's cool under pressure. He gets the job done, one by hook or crook. You know what I mean? Like he's going to figure out a way through it. And I think that's what Cash is in this environment.
That's what I like. Cause I watched the trailer before I watched the movie and I watched the trailer going, okay, so he's going to basically stay the minute at the end. You know, he's just going to walk through and kill everyone. It's going to be, you know, whatever happens, it's going to be like some kind of easy bloodshed. And it's not like that at all. That's not the movie. It's not.
No.
Which is good. That's a good thing, by the way. I'm saying that as a compliment.
I totally agree. I like messy. I mean, if you've seen any of our movies, we love messy.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Like we like Taxi Driver, you know, things like that are the movies that we really gravitate towards.
Because I think it feels more real if your character is taking hits, getting fucked up, nothing goes according to plan. Now what's he going to do? And he just keeps, like you said, persevering. He just keeps pushing. He just keeps trying. Yeah. Yeah, or doesn't he? Of course he does. But saying, like, those are the heroes we love, you know, the most, I think. I mean, even Indiana Jones is a bit like that, right? he'll go into a situation and he'll get fucked, and then he'll try to figure out. He's like, you know, like the beginning of Temple, the beginning of Temple of Doom. He goes in there to make an exchange. And
it's my favorite one, by the way.
Shit fest. Oh, I love that one.
Yeah.
It turns into a complete shit fest, but he finds a way out. You know, and gets under the plane. He's jumping out windows. He's like, it's crazy. People are getting killed.
Those are my kind of heroes. Sloppy ones.
Yes.
The everyman, you know, yeah. Extraordinary circumstances.
That's what we love. I guess that's literally the template for noir, right? So, yeah, the everyman put in an extraordinary situation who finds his, well, sometimes they don't, but fights his way out.
Well, it was cool seeing Orlando play that, because I'm expecting Liam Neeson or something along those lines, or Statham or something, just by the trailer, because the trailer kind of pitches it that way a little bit.
Yeah.
And then as you go, you're like, all right, he's not as cool, he's not as smooth as I thought he was going to be.
I mean, the company we made it with, you know, is famous for like the John Wick franchise. So,
yeah.
You know, Keanu walks in, empties a room, you know, he's fucking badass. So there's that. I think there's that type of badass. And then there's a type of badass that is probably a little closer to reality that I can relate to, where he goes in to clear a room and the fucking room explodes into chaos and he's got to find a way out of it.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. Annie McDowell, America's sweetheart for many, many, many years. And she
still retains that title.
Yeah, she absolutely. I'm not taking it away, but I was very, very surprised, pleasantly surprised at her performance, because she's an asshole. I mean, no offense, not as a person. She's wonderful. But Big Cat is an asshole. So, how did you convince her to do that? I mean, how did you convince her to take this part?
The funniest part of that is she convinced us. So it went the other way around.
Really?
Yeah. So she came up in our initial conversations. I'll take the rap on this. I honestly was like, hey, look, I don't think we've never seen her do this before. Like, mm-hmm. like the chance of her wanting to do this is like zero in my mind. I think we're just going to be spinning our wheels waiting for her to say no.
So you can go out to her and you can spend a month or two trying to get her to read it and whatever, try to do it. But honestly, you have to sort of ride that medium as a filmmaker. You're like, okay, we don't have 2 months. We don't have a month. We got to get a read in a couple of weeks. So you need somebody that's like excited about it just off the pitch. You know what I mean? When their agent comes in and says, hey, I got this cool movie, blah, 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 blah. It's like this. Your character's like that. Oh, that sounds intriguing. Not like, I'll get to it. You know, that sounds like something that's a back burner project for me or whatever. Not something I really
like. If I find anything more interesting, I'll do that.
Yeah, that kind of thing. We didn't want that. We wanted someone who was pumped about it. And so Andy's agent gets the thing and reads it and goes, you know who I think might like this is Andy, and passes it to her unbeknownst to us. Cause once you go out to town, it goes out to a lot of agencies, and the agencies are trying to figure out like what piece of talent here like might be really interested in this movie. And so her agent passed it to her, and then she got back to us and said, hey, Andy really dug this. We're like, holy shit, are you serious? And she's like, she wants to have a Zoom with you guys, talk a little bit, see if you guys can work together on this. And we're like, all right, shit. So we get on the phone with her.
And one thing I didn't know that I actually found out later was like, Andy went and saw Small Town Crime in one of its theatrical venues down here in LA.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
yeah,
fun.
So she went and saw it in the theaters. And we heard this from a friend.
So afterwards. It's cool that she, we didn't know this going into the Zoom or whatever, but like, it's cool that she, you know, watched one of our movies, and then she actually told us that. She said, I watched your movies. Like, I'm a fan. I want to do this with you guys. I think I want to make this movie.
It's the best compliment.
Ridiculous. Yeah. So she was like, I know you've never seen me do a character like
this. And understand, like Big Cat, when this Zoom, Big Cat's simmering under the surface.
Yeah, she's wearing like black leather pants. And even though it was a wonderful call, very pleasant and awesome.
But there's a little edge to her.
But there's some edge and some flares at sometimes where she gives us, where she, you can see that you're like, oh shit, yeah, she like, totally killed
she's it. She's definitely giving us some Big Cat vibe right now.
And like, so she tells us like, I know you don't know I can do this, or that I have an appetite for this, but trust me, my kids, like ask my kids, I can do this.
She just probably has never been given the opportunity, or isn't very often, because she's pigeonholed. She's got the Orlando Bloom problem, you know? 100%.
And so that really excited us, was like when she expressed her appetite to do it.
And again, another juggernaut talent hungrily wanting to do something different and fun and crazy. And like, as you see in the movie, same as Orlando, like she's in it to win it. Like she is in there devouring that role and giving us 125%.
She's even got some action in here, man. She's doing things I've never pictured to see Annie McDowell doing, ever.
There's some moments in there where we couldn't believe it was happening.
I mean, we're looking at the monitors and we're like, wow, that's...
She goes for it. She goes for it.
She was in with both feet. It was awesome.
Big fan. Big fan of her work in this. This is a very... Her and Orlando both did much, much better than I expected. And that's probably not a fair statement, just because I hadn't seen them do this is really the way that I should frame it.
Look, you, the same thing that excites you excites us.
Yeah.
Right? Like we see that, we're like, oh man, this is amazing. And then when we got them together,
it was,
and there was like that
fireworks
crackle between them, like those scenes where they kind of get close together and you can almost sense the like past intimacy that they may have had.
The
you know?
Whole crew was feeling that when we were watching those scenes as it's, as they're happening, unfolding, everyone's just like, holy shit.
Yeah. That seems sexy.
Yeah,
it seems sexy for sure.
Like you know, he was her boy toy.
That was one of the things we talked about with them is that they had some kind of relationship, and you can allude to a little bit of like how that relationship started or got started. And there's that one fun scene with the guy on the couch, but like you can see that there's that dynamic to her, right? That she's sexually dominant as well. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. I dug that.
Big cat wants.
I dug that a lot. And I know I've got to let you go here in a minute, but I got to mention, I can't let you go without mentioning Garrett Dillahunt he's one of those actors that this is just my opinion. He makes everything better. He's very much like Walton Goggins, right? He's that guy. He just walks in, he hits the screen. I have no idea what he's going to do because he's that kind of actor. He's that kind of actor where you just don't know what he's going to do. And I really liked his redemptive preacher arc quite a bit.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
No, that's the baggage that we love about him, right? Not only is he a paramount talent, but he walks in and you're like, what side of the card are we going to flip here with Garrett? You know?
Yeah. He's like Walton. He's like a Sam Rockwell for us. Like those character actors that are just, they come in and you're just blown away. He's one of those guys, no matter what he's in, we're like dying to watch it, you know?
Yeah. And you can't expect it. You can't, I remember I think it was like Walking Dead or something. He did one of the Walking Dead spinoffs. And I didn't even watch, I only watched it literally because he was in it. And I'm like, what do you mean Garrett's in a Walking Dead show? And he made that so much better. I didn't even like that show. And I started watching it just because of that.
I know. That's what he does. He elevates everything. And it was funny because all of the actors were like as enamored with him as we were. And they'd all be like huddling around our monitor, like watching the takes with him. They're like, we got to watch Garrett.
It was awesome.
It was fantastic, honestly, and he did not disappoint as a human being as well. He had a great class.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. When does he work that out ahead of time, or is it really just spontaneous? That's one thing I'm just curious.
Oh, you're saying like his process?
Yeah, is he one that?
I'd say it's a little bit of both, right? I mean, he definitely comes with a game plan of who his character is. He works hard on putting that character together because he was like, I'm going to shave my head. I'm going to do this. Yeah. This is a backstory. I want to do this line because of this backstory to that line.
What do you think about some tattoos?
Yeah. What do you think if I change these two, three words? Because if I change them this way, it's going to mean this about my past with Big Cat. We're all, fuck yeah. Oh, love that. Love that. Love that. And then like, yeah, he's doing the tattoos. He's like, what if I do a tattoo here like this? You know, he's putting his character together like 110%. That's why he's so damn good. But he's also not afraid to pivot in a scene or in a moment, you know, physically or verbally. So there's absolutely all kinds of moments, like just in like a lot of the melees and moments he's in where he has to get really physical that he's, you know, improvising, moving.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, why don't we do this? He's like, yeah, no problem. Great. You know, he's ready to just jump right in. So
that's cool.
There's a lot of different styles of directors. And we, for our process, he plugged in really nicely. And then for us, that process is that, look, there's a lot of pre-planning, especially on these action scenes and stuff, a lot of storyboards, things like that, you know, just so we're out there. We know what we need to shoot when we want to shoot it. But there's also, you know, a bit of room for the improvisation and all that stuff.
And Garrett, and the magic, if he wants to go left and walk down the stairs when we didn't have that plan, no problem. Like, we'll just have to figure it out, talk about it beforehand so that Johnny Durango, our DP, sets it up so we can go down that far. You know, it's just things like that. But yeah, he, Walton, like, in that capacity are very similar. I felt just that they can get into a scene and bring a lot more that's on the page at times.
And even to tie those two together further, Walton vouched for us to Garrett.
That's true.
He would come do the movie.
Yeah. That's awesome.
He said that Walton was one of his first calls because he knows Walton and that he knows he did Batman with us and that he called him and said, hey, I like the script. These guys are peddling to me. Before I call them and talk to them, like, do you suggest I do it? He said, yeah, I think you should do it.
Now you guys got to hatch like some buddy action thriller with those two together linked up.
After we finished working with him, we literally were like, okay, like, how do we figure out a bigger movie for this guy to star in? Cause he's so much fun to work with.
Put him and Walton together. They're like buddy midnight run kind of flick or something. That would be great.
That would be a killer.
Buckle up.
Oh, anything next for you? Can you guys tease what's next? I got to let you go. I know that, but,
I can say we've written something that we're super pumped about, it's a Nelms Brothers original, that we're
nice
right now. We have our financing and we're just sort of locking up a secondary producing capacity before we go out to town. And that's where we're at with that one. I don't want to dive too deep into it, but the title is Minutemen, and that's something we wrote a few years ago. That it's kind of in the vein of Small Town Crime.
Oh, that sounds exciting. Okay. Well, come back. I hope you will. You guys are always welcome here. And everybody else, please check out Red Right Hand, which at the time you're hearing this should be available on demand and in limited theaters. So definitely check it out. Red Right Hand.
Right. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you. I'll let you guys go. Hey, man. Always appreciate you coming by. I really do appreciate it. Sincerely.
I appreciate you having us, man.
Thank you so much, brother. It means a mountain. Great to see you again.
It's good to see you. Take care. And Ian, keep working out. Like, you're getting swole.
Dude, I'm fine. I know. Push-ups during the call, but I figured.
I tell him, I go, you're diminishing, bro. You got to, like, get it a little harder at the gym.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's trying to beat Orlando in a push-up contest.
I'm going to go on a diet as soon as I end this interview. Oh, God. All right.
See you, brother.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye. All right, that's it, everybody. Thank you for listening. We will have another episode of The Hollywood Outsider out later this week. And I believe our topic is, what happens when everyone loves a movie but you? Here we go. All right. Well, be sure to check out Red Right Hand. I hope you guys enjoyed this interview. Again, these guys are great. They're genuine, down-to-earth, real people that I just love to talk to. So thanks for listening. Once again, when you head to the theater to see Red Right Hand, buy popcorn.